if you and I were arrested for being Christians, would there be sufficient evidence to convict us?
Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost, work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua, it's found in Deuteronomy 31:8. That promise is for you and me today, and for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today, once again, on the love of the world. Let me ask you a simple question. Are Christians supposed to be different? Most of you, I think, would agree with me that we definitely are. The great question, of course, is how and to what degree. We go to Jesus, first of all. How different was Jesus? I don't believe that he was recognizable by his dress, his hair, or his social life. He apparently dressed the way other people did, otherwise he wouldn't have had to be betrayed by a kiss. His social life involved going to a village wedding. He ate and drank with sinners. He was accused, because of eating and drinking with sinners, of being a glutton and a wine bibber and non-discriminating. But the great difference, the radical difference, was his motives, his message, his dealings with men and women. Jesus was pure, holy, and other-world-oriented. Jesus always pleased the Father. Shouldn't that be our pattern, too? Aren't we Christians meant to be pure, holy, oriented primarily toward another world other than this one? And surely we should please God our Father. I'd like to read from Philippians 2, verses 12 to 15. You too, my friends, must be obedient as always. Even more now that I am away, says Paul, than when I was with you. You must work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, inspiring both the will and the deed for his own chosen purpose. Do all you have to do without complaint or wrangling. Show yourselves guileless and above reproach, faultless children of God in a warped and crooked generation in which you shine like stars in a dark world, and proffer the word of life. Now, if that isn't a description of a radical difference, I don't know what is. We're supposed to be shining like stars in a dark world. We're supposed to be faultless children of God in a warped and crooked generation. If Paul's generation was warped and crooked, what would he say of ours today? And that last phrase, proffer the word of life, the footnote in the translation that I'm using today says that the word of life is the very principle of its life. That is an alternate translation. The principle of our lives should be obedience to God, always pleasing the Father, as Jesus did. Are you asking yourself now, what is the principle of your life? If you and I were arrested for being Christians, would there be sufficient evidence to convict us? Think about that one. Remember where Paul was when he wrote this. He was in prison. Why is it possible for Paul to have joy? This is the book of Philippians, what's called the joy epistle, and he was chained between two soldiers, probably. and yet he was joyful. Verses 16 to 18 in that same second chapter. Thus you will be my pride on the day of Christ, proof that I did not run my race in vain or work in vain. But if my lifeblood is to crown that sacrifice which is the offering up of your faith, I'm glad of it, and I share my gladness with you all. Rejoice, you no less than I, and let us share our joy. Where does it come from? Well, that kind of joy I've seen in some great 20th century Christians, people who, as far as outward circumstances are concerned, have no reason whatsoever even to be happy, let alone joyful. But people who exemplify in their own response to life's hard knocks the truth of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, says the Bible. Now, what about this word guileless? Showing yourselves guileless and above reproach. Guile is duplicity, craftiness, trickery. To be guileless is to be honest, open, not two-faced. What you see is what you get. I know some guileless people. In me, there's the temptation to be tricky sometimes, to be crafty. Well, it's not appropriate for a Christian. It's not the character that Jesus exemplified. It certainly isn't the character that Paul is telling us to exemplify if we're going to shine like stars in the world. There's plenty of guile around us, isn't there? Duplicity, craftiness, trickery. There's something about my husband Lars Grin that makes people trust him. I guess he has what you call an open face, but he amazes me again and again at the way he makes friends with people, the way total strangers will trust him, and there is something very honest and open and guileless about him. I know that he's not two-faced. What you see is what you get, and that's the way I want to be. That's the way a Christian should be. Above reproach, faultless children of God in a warped and crooked generation. Not very long ago, my husband and I had the privilege of being at Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. I didn't know quite what to expect when I got there, but what I got was so much beyond whatever I was expecting that it's hard even to describe it. Brooklyn is a pretty tough place to live. The pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle was telling us that crack has changed everybody's lives. Crack, you know, is a very powerful drug, very addictive, and very cheap. That is what's so different about crack as opposed to heroin and other drugs. And he said that crack is being given out free to school children on the schoolyards, small school children, because it only takes one or two doses for them to become addicted. And once they're addicted, then of course the drug pusher has got them. He said, the pastor said, crack is the deadliest weapon Satan ever invented. And I met a young woman who had been on drugs from the time she was 10 years old until she was 25. She said, I started sniffing glue, then I went to pot, then heroin, then crack. Her husband was sitting there at the same table. He had been a drug pusher. He said, you should have seen me back then, hair down to here, earrings, three earrings in each ear, and feathers. I said, feathers? He said, feathers. You should have seen me. Well, now here are two transformed lives, Maria and Mike Durso. And he is the pastor now of a church which was spawned by the Brooklyn Tabernacle. It's also in Brooklyn. And it was just a wonderful experience to see the before and after. In fact, Maria sent me some pictures of the before, what she looked like when she was on drugs. The difference is radical. It is unbelievable. In that same church, the pastor had received a letter that day from one of the women in the church. It was an anonymous letter, but she said she had just learned that her 14-year-old daughter was pregnant. That wasn't the end of the story. The father of the child is this lady's son. In other words, the brother of the 14-year-old girl is the father of the child that she's carrying. The lady said, "I wanted to kill myself and my children, but because of Jesus and this church, I'm making it one day at a time." That church shines as a light in a very dark place. Obedience brings us out of darkness. You too, my friends, must be obedient, Paul says. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. But the rest of the verse is the most important there. It is God who works in you, inspiring both the will and the deed for his own chosen generation. May God help us to shine like lights in a dark world. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.